Okay, cum lenin ablat gemara. The last thing we are learning is a din of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who said that if you have two courtyards enclosed and each, you know, separate from each other, and there's a little laneway in between that's also enclosed, and the only ones who have access to the laneway are these two courtyards, but they don't really have access because there's no doorways between their courtyards and this laneway. Because there would be, then obviously you would need an Erev in this laneway because there are two different courtyards that have ownership. The only method of access that they have to this particular laneway is there's a pit there, a cistern with water, and they have windows, and through the windows, via the air, they draw water. And so Yehuda says, in such a case, nobody forbids on anybody else, because no one really has access here. It's a private place. So therefore, they just have to make some kind of a stick, or Shmuel says a ziz, and Rabbi Yehuda adds even a reed, even smaller than that. Just a token measure to show that you can't just stamp carry in a common ownership. But over here you can, because they don't really have access, but you need to do something. So Rabbi made a comment that this would follow Shmuel and not follow Rav. Because Rav holds that if the only access that I have, that you have, is via the airspace, we don't at all forbid each other, and we don't even need to have a token measure to permit it. So we worked out, you know, that that's where it comes from. So now the Gemara wants to know, where did Rav say that going via the air does not in any way prohibit the other group from using it? It's not really called access. Bearing in mind also, we had an argument yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. When one has, we said they both have exact same access, they both, you know, forbid on each other. But if one has easy access and one has difficult access, one is shulshul just by lowering it, the other one is by zrika, by throwing it, there we had a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, where we give anyone access better. You know, Rav says that makes no difference, one has easier relative to the other one. The fact is, it's not like a pesach, it's not like a doorway, it's not easy, it's not flush, it's not easy access. So therefore, they're both equal owners, and they aser on each other until you make an edim. Shmuel says, no, we give it to the one who has shulshul. Bearing that in mind, we'll come back to that soon. So now we want to know, where does Rav say that going by ear is not considered ownership, and therefore I don't really, or access, and therefore I don't aser on the other person? Says the Gemara, and we're up to, right in the middle of the page, the last word of the line is, Mehechadat pehei omen aleph. The Kumlan of the Gemara, that pehei omen aleph, right in the middle, Uderav Mehecha. This Rav that you said does not count if the only method of access is via the airspace, as if it's considered access, and therefore does not ask another person. Where did you find such a Rav? Ilema Maha, if you can tell me from something we're going to learn later on. it says, Shtegezuz Trois, you have two porches, Zu Lemaile Mazu, you have two porches, one above the other, not directly above. We'll soon see next to each other. Osu mechitza le'alyoina. They made a... Now remember, these porches are going to make a hole, and you can therefore, you know, draw water. So they made, for the upper porch, they made a mechitza. They put a wall around it, so that becomes a shusa yachid. And we learned by water, even a suspended mechitza is good enough, because it's very lenient. But to the lower one, they didn't make a mechitza. So the lower one, therefore, uses the top one to be able to get to the water. Then, shtei en asuris. You're not allowed to use either one until they make a native. Because they both are using the top one. The top one is actually just dropping it right down. The bottom one has to throw its bucket up to the top porch and then drop it down. And if they both have access through the top porch and they didn't make an aid between the two of them, it's asa. Comes along, Rav Hunam, he says, the name of Rav. Loishon, when is this din said, Elibus Mucham, that they're within four tfachim of each other? So even though, let's say, your porch is 10 tfachim higher than porch A, is 10 tfachim higher than porch B. So the only way porch B can get there is by throwing it up, its bucket up 10 tfachim to the porch A, and then lowering it. And the porch A just has to lower it. But I've already told us before that lowering it versus throwing it, even though it's easier to lower it, it's not good enough. It's still not a doorway. And even though one has easier access than the other, they're both considered equal owners, equal access. And they aser on each other. Ava b'mufleges, yeah, so that's what we say, that they're both equal, and you need eda between the two of them. But what happens, Ava b'mufleges arba, but if it's more than four tfachim between the two porches in distance, so then the two, if somebody can please mute themselves, then the two are not really considered one. Then, in that case here, the one, the higher porch, all it has to do is shul shall drop it, but B has to do zrika, across. You have to throw it across the four tfachim before it hits the other porch, before you can drop it. So he says then, I'm a flegis, a boy, el yoyne muteres, and the only owner here, the one has access, is considered the higher porch, v'tachtoina sort of, but the lower porch does not have access. So what do we see from here? Why not? Because the lower porch has to throw it across the airspace. It's further than a four tfachim. So it's clearly here that the Rav holds that airspace is not considered access, and therefore it's as if the sole owners of the higher porch are the ones who are there, and the lower porch, even though they have an agreement, the lower porch is not considered an owner there, or an access, does not have access there because they have to use the airspace. So clearly Rav holds that airspace does not aser on each other. So according to Rav, if you have a pit between two chateres, and the only way to get there is by a window for each one, you don't even need a ziz, you need nothing, because airspace does not forbid the other one from using it. So the Gemara, is that your whole proof? Dilma, perhaps, there's a difference between this case with two porches and the case over here where we talk about a pit. And what is that? Shiny Hoch, here's different. Kivun de lezeh bezrika. This one has to do two steps. The one on the bottom is Zrika Vishilshul. First of all, they have to throw it across, and then they have to drop it. Ulazeh, the one that's in the higher porch, Vishilshul Luchudi, all he has to do is dropping it, is Kalazeh Bezrika Ulazeh Pesodami. Maybe here's two steps. We learned before, Rav says that if one person has to drop it, like the high upstairs, the guy upstairs drops it, the guy downstairs has to raise it, then even though the guy dropping it is easier than raising it, they treat them both the same, because a relative ease is not considered ease. Here, it's two steps versus one step. Here, the guy on top, all he does is drop it. The guy on the bottom has to throw it across and drop it as well. And because it's two steps, maybe Rav Moida, in this case, the guy who drops it, it's like a doorway versus a difficult access. And then even Rav would be Moida that we give it to the one who has it like a doorway, flush, it's easy. The porch on top. And therefore, it has nothing to do with airspace. But airspace itself maybe is a problem. So how do you know that Rav holds in the case of, in our case, two courtyards and a pit in between, that Rav wouldn't agree that because they both share the airspace that you need to make some kind of an edible, put a stick there or something? You need a elam hodom adonachim rabbatavu, and what I'll tell you from the following, Rav will learn it from. It says, Shnei Bati, if you have pictures, you see two houses, let's call A and B, two extremes, A is all the way on the right and B is all the way on the left. The sholish churb is b'neim, and then on a straight line, the way we understand right now. You have three dilapidated houses in between. So A has, B is right next to A, that's the dilapidated house. C is right in the middle, equidistant from A and E. And D is the dilapidated house that's close to E. So Rav said, if you have such a situation, and the three dilapidated houses are basically accessible to both of them, and the way it works is you have big openings between all these dilapidated houses. So A has use of all three, and E has use of all three, and A, you know, the house right next to it, the first, you know, few feet, it can just drop a shulshul. The rest of that house it uses zrika, but the other houses is purely through zrika because it's far away. And the same thing for E. House D is right next to him, so the first part, initial part, is just shulshul dropping things in there, you know, for storage, whatever. And beyond that, it's zrika. So says Rav, if you have this situation, Shnei Batim, two houses, Bisholos, Churbis, Benaim, and then three Churbis between them, Zemish, Stamish, Bisomach, Shloid, Zika. This A, let's say, can use house, the first room, which is B, which is right next to it, through its windows, by throwing things. We're talking about there's no doorways, there's just windows, it's all it is airspace. How do you get from into any of these rooms? Basically via the airspace, there are no doors. And you can use all of them. even though E also has access to A through Zrika, nevertheless, E does not answer on A, and A can use house B. Why can A use house B? L'chayda, E can throw things there as well. Because for A, all he has to do is drop it into house B, shilshul, and at least the initial part of B is shoshul, so as if the entire B is shoshul, and therefore it's like a doorway, it's an easy access, versus, and the other person, no, not sorry, and this guy shoshul, and the other person is zrika, and Rav holds that shoshul and zrika doesn't really work, and the reason why it's permitted here is because airspace is not asif. C, E, all E has its connection to the first rune next to A is because you can throw it there. That's airspace. But A actually has shilshul, and therefore we give it to A. So we see from here that Rav holds that airspace, just because the only way you can get this through your airspace, that does not consider as if you have access. But when say also the middle house is also to both of them. We'll soon see why. Yosef Rabbeinu said to him, "Shmaiti said this Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said to him. Now this Rabbi Elazar we find many places was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon. Just like Rav was a very devoted student just like Yehuda was a devoted student of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar was a devoted student of Rabbi Yechon. But it seems clearly we had the same Gemara here before where Rabbi Elazar asked the same question. Did you hear this from Shmuel? And he went to Shmuel's house to talk to him. About the fact that he was so pedantic about the words in the Mishnah. Here, Rabbi Elazar is saying, Rav really said this, and he went to the house of Rav to ask questions. So Rabbi Elazar started out in Bavel, and then he went to Israel later, and became a student of Rabbi Yechon. So Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Bar Bei Rav, he said to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Reina, he says, Bar Bei Rav, you student of the yeshiva, Amalei Rav Hochi, Rav really did say this? Amalei, yes. Show me where he lives. I need to talk to him. Achle showed him. Also, coming up here, Rav Amalei, Omer Marhochi, Yitaka said this. Amalei, he's trying to understand why the middle house is Aser. L'chayiv, the middle house, yeah, the only way you can get there is through airspace. And so L'chayiv, why is the middle house Aser? So he understood the reason why the middle house is also purely because of airspace. Because the only way to get to the middle house from either house, from A or E, to get to the middle room, is only through Avir. So how come then B is permitted to A and in D is permitted to E? L'chayda, each A has access via the Avir, via the airspace to D, and E has access via the airspace to B. So how come that doesn't answer? Must be because one is easier access, one is more difficult access. So he had a problem with that because Rav is the one who holds that makes no difference if one has easier access or difficult access if they still have some difficulty. Since you believe that airspace is usher, why else would the middle house be forbidden? The middle rooms would be forbidden. Since you hold out it's usher, so how come the house on the right, A, is allowed to use house B on Shabbos, but E has access to house B via airspace, and you hold that's good enough. Norvos, because A is closer to B than E is, so therefore it's easier for him. But you don't believe in the easier and difficult business. Amalei said back to him, "Me sovet, do you think the kaima b'shuda? You misunderstood all the way. You think it was in a straight row? Lo, the kaima kechatsuva is like a tripod. You look at the picture here, so you have like a tripod." This must be the only picture inside the Gemara itself. So you have here the house. You have the other end of the other house. On the right side, you have two churbas, and on the left side, you have one churba. Now, this middle one, the left side, churba connects to both houses. And that's why he asks, as he explains. because it's like a chatzuva, and therefore, their house number... Let's say B is close to house number A and D is close to house number E, but C, the middle house, is close to both of them. And so therefore, when it comes to the dilapidated houses, since the only way for A to get to D is via airspace is not Asa. And that's how we know Rav does not Asa airspace. Why the middle house is Asa? Because both have use of the house on the left, that Churba, that connects to both houses, they both can drop things into there straight down, shilshul, because they border their houses. And therefore, well, since part of the houses are shilshul, it's like each one has access to the whole house, and that's why they both have equal access. And says the Gemara further, Papa, and even though this house is also is open to both other houses that are matter, but because it's not really used that much, we're not going to make a big deal. So that's how we know Rav holds that airspace is not asa. Amalei Rav Papa, the Rav, let's say that Shmuel who said that a person does aser vaya irspei, does not agree with the Rav Dimi sentiment. What's the story? Before Rav Dimi came along and said, if you have a place called a Makam Tur, it's less than 4 by 4 tvachim wide. We said that people of this, it's a border between the private place and the public place. The people in the private place are allowed to put things there, the people in the public are allowed to put things there because it's a Makam Tur. Achlifu, you shouldn't take something from the street, put it there, and then take it from there and put it in the house. So, how do we understand Makam Tur? The Gemara thinks that there's a whole chakira. How do we understand Makam Tur? A Makam Tur means it's not a chash of a place, it's less than 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. There's two ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is, you did put it down, and it's the name of a rishus, but the din is, if you put in Makam Tur, it's potter. That's the din, Halach Mer Sinai. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is, it's like you never put it down, it's like still sitting in the air. Because it's less than 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, it's hanging in the air, there's nothing really chash of there. And that's how the Gemara understands it right now. That a Makam Tur is, that there's nothing there. It's not like you put it down in a place that's exempt. It's like you never put it down. It's like still sitting in the air. And it says over here, clearly, that you're allowed to put things there. That's what Abdimi said, that you're allowed to put things there. And according to Shmuel, the only way you can, since he holds that airspace also means you have access, the only way, according to him, you should do is that the people of Shasarabim should have some kind of a stick hanging over there, or people should have a stick to show, you know, why they're doing what they're doing. Says the Gemara, what do you know? Hashem Rishi, the Raisa over there, Rishi Sarabim is from the Torah, considered a Rishi Sarabim, Rishi Yochid is from the Torah. So we're not really worried that people are going to make a mistake and carry from directly from Rishi Sarabim to Rishi Yochid. So therefore, when it comes to this middle place, even if you want to, the Gemara is saying, you want to say that what? It's like still suspended in the air. Not like you placed it in the Makam Tur, suspended in the air. Still over here, we're not going to make a Gzeri, we're not going to say you have to have a token measure, because no mistakes will ever arise. If we don't do the token measure, we don't think that people tomorrow are going to start carrying from the street into a person's house. But Hocher Rishi is the Rabban. Over here, the two houses with a pit in the middle, they're both Rishi Yachid. And if we're going to allow them to start, you know, taking water from the well, even though it belongs to both of them, and they don't need an Eruv, people are going to start thinking they can carry from one house to the other house as well without an Eruv, because they think it's a Rishi Yachid and a Rishi Yachid. Who says you need an Eruv at all? And the mistakes can happen. When it comes to Rabbanan, we are more concerned than it comes to the Torah. Did Rav really say that? Did Rav really say that? What, that the person can use it, in those houses, and the other guy, because the airspace does not ban him at all, or in the case of two chatzeres, we don't even need a stick. We can just take water from the well, because you don't ask them at all. Because if it's an asa, let me ask a question. But maybe learn. Shnei botim says Rav. One owner owns two houses that straddles two sides of a main street between them. In the Rabba Barabhuna Omar Rav, Rabba Barabhuna said, "Rav, also lizrek mizelaze." He said, "Rav, you're not allowed to throw from one to another." Now, luchayda, what's wrong? It's going to go through this airspace of Shus Rabim, which is higher than 10 tefachim, and yet you're not allowed to go. Why? Must be because the people in the Shus Rabim have rights to the airspace, and that intersects, or that impedes the person who owns both houses from throwing one house to another. So we see that airspace is considered an access way, and therefore you cannot throw it above the Shus Rabim because of that airspace that belongs to the Shus Rabim. And you just said Rav holds the airspace is not considered access way at all. Shmuel said, you're allowed to carry. Did I tell you we're talking about a case? The madli chad or mitzichad. One house is much higher and one house is much lower. And we're scared you're going to throw it from the lower house to the higher house. And what's going to happen is it's going to fall into Shus Rabim. And then you forget and you go to Shus Rabim to retrieve it and bring it back to your house. That's why he asked. Not because the airspace of Shus Rabim. He holds no such thing as the airspace. The menagde v'nafil. We're scared that it's going to fall down. V'osil asu, you'll come and drag it in. According to Shmuel, Hakom Shmuel said before airspace, is the problem over here is matter. Because Shmuel already said, when is airspace a problem? Only when it's Osir Midrabbanan. But not when it's Osir, when it's a Shuris Mahatayr, like here, houses and Rishus Rabim, we're not worried. Okay, that completes this Gemara here. Now goes the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is Hanoisen. We already had this before. Hanoisen is when the whole idea of an Erev in the Chatzar, a bunch of houses, is that we're as if we all live together in one house. We put bread down in somebody's house. When it comes to a number of courtyards that want to join together in the street, we don't really live in the street. It's just that we're all going to use the street together. So therefore, all we have to do, we're all sharing one courtyard together. So therefore, over there, we don't have to put the food, or whatever we put on the wine, the oil, the barrel, or the bread, only in a courtyard. We don't have to take over a house, because we're not imagining we all live in the same house. We're imagining we're all sharing the same courtyard. So says the Mishnah here, when it comes to a chatzeres, hanoisin, they say, Ruv, if you place your eidav, it has to be placed in a house. But certain places are not considered a house. For example, a beis shaar, an entrance, if you have a beis shaar, like an entrance to a house, you have a gate where the guard stands, it's not for living. If you place the eidav there, it's not considered we put it in the house, and we can't say we all imagine we're living in that house. Not a house, or exadjah, in a porch. Or my peset is, I guess, the balcony. Ain't an eidav, none of them are an eidav, because nobody lives there. And even if somebody did live in that guardhouse, for example, Einu Oysad Olav. Just like you cannot put an aid there, it's not a house. If somebody lives there, he does not in any way cause other people not to carry because he doesn't have any ownership in a house. Beis Shaar is not considered a house. But if a Beis HaTevin, if you have a place where you keep your straw, a Beis HaBakar, a place where you keep your cattle, a Beis HaEitzim, a place where you keep your store, your wood, your firewood, or Beis HaTzoros, or your warehouse where you keep all your other barrels, that's considered a house, and therefore, if you could place the eidav there, hareiz the eidav. That's considered a house, and it's an eidav. Furthermore, hadarshan, if somebody actually lives there, then I say it's aser. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, im yesh sham tfisas yad shel bala bais. Let's say you gave someone the room in the warehouse to sleep, but the bala bais still has his belongings there as well. It's called tfisas yad. He can take it out whenever he wants. Then ainu oiser. That means the bala bais still has rights to that room. And therefore, you don't asa. Like in a hotel, the Baal HaBais has tfisas yad in every single room. All the furniture is his. Therefore, everybody can carry inside the hotel. There's one owner. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shmuel bar Shelet, kol mokum she'amru. Whenever we say hador sham, einu oisim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel says the following thing, which Gemara is going to try and understand. What is he adding on the Mishnah? So he says, anywhere where it says, if you live there, einu oisa, if somebody resides in this particular place, it's not really considered a house, and therefore does not asa on everybody else in that courtyard from carrying unless he joins in, because he's not in any way interfering. Tahanoisa, they say, Ruvein Eiv, and also we learned that if you place an eid of this, not a valid eid, because it's not a house. Chutz, the only exception is, a beis shaar de yachid. The only exception is, if it's a beis shaar of an individual house, let's say, only one person lives in the courtyard, not a whole bunch of houses, only one person in the courtyard, and he has a guard there in front. That beis shaar could be considered a house. If a guy lives there, he could cause him problems. Not like we learned before, beis shaar to a courtyard, which has a number of people living there, and one guy is guarding for everybody else. That's definitely not considered a house. Says the Gemara, then he said, if you don't place an eidav because it's not a house, manichin by shituf. But a shituf, you could put the shituf is the food that you collect for the common street. Because for a common street, it's not like we're living in one house, it's just like living in one courtyard. So then a beis shaar, which is not valid to be considered a house, but definitely considered part of the courtyard, you can place the eidav there. Chutz ma'avim mavi, where you shouldn't place it is out in the middle of that street that you, or the common street you all want to join, because obviously it's unprotected and it's not considered that you put it away. Says Gemara, my kamashim, what in the world is he telling us we didn't already know from the Mishnah? Tanina, we learned. Hanoisin is seruv, it says in our Mishnah, if you place the aid of the beis shaar in that guardhouse, in the gatehouse, in front of the house, or outside of the porch, my pest of the balcony, ain't an aid, not an aidiv. So we see from the aid, it's not, remember, it's an aid in the shittav. Aidiv would have, it's not an aidiv. Hashittav have, but if you were to place there your shittav, your barrel of wine, it would have worked. Says the Gemara, you know the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Bashel, Rabbi Shmuel Bashel, is beis shaar de yachid. The case that he told is an exception. If there's only an individual house there and he has a gatehouse in front and somebody resides there, it's considered as a second person, then they need a native. And Avid the Mavi, the other din that he told us that you cannot place the food in the Mavi in the street itself, itzichle, that's the chiddush. The Leitran, it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, you're right. And Tanya Mahachi, we actually learned the Braitza that supports this. Hanoitzin is a ruvi bebe shar. Somebody places an eidav in bebe shar, like sadam apeset, over chotz of a mother. You place an eidav either in the gatehouse, or in the porch, or in the balcony, or inside the chotz, or inside a mother. Hadez eidav. Here it says, it seems to say it is an eidav. It says bebe shar, like all of them, it says an eidav. Yet, but now we learned in our Mishnah clearly that all of these ain's are eidav, it's not an eidav. Aimer, so it's over here, when even though we use the word eidav, it means shittav. Hadez a shittav, shittav. Says the Gemara, Shittav the Mavi Le Minter. Says the Gemara, how can you put it in the street itself? One of the ones that says here is uvemavi. That means you're placing the barrel of oil in the middle of the street. We said before it's not protected. Leminter ema means bechazer shemavi. Any of the courtyards in the mavi. You don't have to place it in the house. You can place it outside, but it has to be in a courtyard, so there's some privacy there, and that's good enough because the whole idea is that it's all considered one courtyard. Let's say all the people of a particular courtyard were all sitting together. They're all sitting together. Suddenly became Shabbos, and they didn't make an Eidav. But pas sha'ala shulchan, the bread that's on the table, which they all join in together, seimchin alein mishum Eidav. They can all rely on that for the Eidav. They can all rely on that for the Eidav. We're talking about that everybody of that chaser or everybody in that mavi joined together for Shabbos meal, or Friday night, Friday afternoon meal became Shabbos, and the bread on the table, since they all can eat from it, it's as if there's one common bread, and therefore they have an Eidav. Others say mishum shittuf, and others say that they can rely on that for shittuf. So luchay is there machlekes. One of them says the bread you rely even for an Eidav chaser. The other says no, you can only rely for the shittuf in the common street. But not to carry, with anything which already exists in the chatzar, you can carry from the chatzar into the street. But not allowed to carry from the house into the chatzar. Is that not like it? I'm going to have a little pliggy. Kan b'masum b'bayis, if we're sitting and having a meal together in a house, the whole idea of an eidav of chatzar is where you have all the houses and one chatzar joined together is as if we're all living in one house. So the bread has to be in a house. So we all had a meal together in a house and then suddenly became Shabbos. So the bread is sitting on the table inside somebody's house. It's a valid eidav. For the as well, all the houses can carry now into that courtyard. But if we're all sitting out in the courtyard, then we're not like living in one house. We're living in one courtyard. So then we can all join in and take things from our courtyard into the street. But we cannot carry from our house into the courtyard because there we didn't make an Eidav. And there's a number of houses there. By the Rabbah time, so I prove it to you, it says in the Braisa, Eiruvi Chatzeres, Bechatze, Veshitufi Mevoiz Memovi. Where do you place the Eiruv Chatzeres in the Chatze, Veshitufi Mevovi? It sounds like from this braisa, it's a braisa here, that you place the eiro, the chatzar, in a chatzar, and you place the shittu mevoya in the street, which is exactly the opposite we learned before. But we're trying to understand, eiro v'chatzar v'chatzar, but now we're learning eiro v'chatzar 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 in eiro, you can't place it in the chatzar, you have to place it in a house, even a gatehouse, which is a little bit of a house, it's not good enough, it has to be a proper house that people live in. What do you mean you put it in the chatzar is good enough? It must mean that the Eid of Chatzah has to sit in the house inside the Chatzah, and a Shetufe Mavuyis has to be the Chatzah Shemavi, or in the courtyards inside the Mavi. Abuda said, Im Yesham Tfisas Yad, if the owner still has a handle on it, he can take it, then the owner is still there, and even though the person residing there doesn't ask it on them. Says the Gemara, Big machlekes and rishonim, but it happened that there are other people who have private houses there. And since he asks on the other, does he ask on the other people, and then you have to make an eidav anyway, or he doesn't ask on even if he asks on other people, doesn't ask on this particular owner, or doesn't ask on anybody. Also, the comment again, Rabbi Amlu. So, hechi dami tfisas yad. Very interesting gemara. What's an example of tfisas yad? For example, the courtyard of Bunyas ben Bunyas. A man called Bunyas, the son of Bunyas, or just the son of Bunyas, very wealthy, and he used to lend out his house to other people. And he had kept some of his furniture in all of these houses, because he owned a lot of furniture, so he kept it in all the different houses. So the Gemara, also the Kamed Rebbe, so he once came into Rebbe. Amalu, so Rebbe said, now since he was a rich man, Rebbe said, Panu makum leben meya. Guys, give cover to a person who owns 100 times 100 zoos, a very wealthy man. In other words, Rebbe said, give cover to a rich man. Also, Inish Achrin, another person came in, I'm not even sure what his name, but he was even wealthier. Amalu, so Rebbe said, Panu makum, now give cover leben masayiman. This guy owns 200 times 100, 20,000 zoos. Amalu, Rebbe, Aviv Shalzeh ben Bunyas, his father, Bunyas, Yeshlei Elef Sfiz B'yam, he's much wealthier than the second guy. He owns 1,000 ships out there in the sea. Ukenegd on Elef Ayodah B'yabosh, and he owns 1,000 cities in the Yabosh. It's an expression the Gemara used a few times. We have this also, Rabbi Elazar ben Acharsus, exact same thing. But he knows a very wealthy man. So therefore, why are you giving more covet to this person here? Interesting what Rebbe said. Amulei, Rebbe said, I'll tell you why. Because this guy here, Ben Bunyas, he might be the wealthiest guy, but he walks around like a schlump. The other guy might not be so wealthy, but he walks around like refined, he walks around like a gentleman. So, l'kishagi etzel aviv, when this Ben Bunyas meets his father, or if you ever meet Ben Bunyas' father, I want you to do me a favor, and tell him the following. And tell him, amaloi al tashagru bekelim halalu lefanai. Do not send your son in front of me looking like a shlump, disheveled or whatever it is, or wearing very ordinary clothes. Says the Gemara, what's going on here? Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Rebbe used to give cover to the rich people. We had this beautiful story in the Gemara about Basar Dav Ches. We will have Gemara Dav Basar Dav Ches, where he had a student called Rav Nosson. And Rebbe made a declaration that it was during a famine that anybody who was hungry and so on and so forth. And we see in the Gemara there as well that Rebbe used to mechabed only ashirim. Anyway, or only people who know how to learn. He had these rules. And Rabbi Kiva also mechabed ashirim. Rabbi Kiva also used to mechabed ashirim. What exactly does it mean? Why? So the Gemara says over here, "Kedoshah Shor Bamori." Why tak was Rabbi mechabed ashirim? What? It doesn't sound right. So he says here, you know why? Because there's a pasuk where it says, "Yeshev olam lifnei elokim." They'll always sit before Hashem. What? Chesed ve'emes. If somebody is generous and truth, man, and they send it out, Yitzru, and it'll protect him. So in other words, people who have money and give tzedakah, so Rebbe gives them cover not for the money, but for the fact that they made the right choices to give tzedakah. Because Ashirish is a big nesayin, and a lot of people like to keep it to themselves. So that's why Amos Ayeshev of Olam Lifnei Elokim is Masha Chesed Emes Mani Tzru, when Chesed and Emes are surrounding him and protect him. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings here a beautiful thing. Rabbi Kiva Eger says here, what do you mean Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim? Kiva Eger said like this. That it says in the Maril that he heard from Aram Segal that Rebbe himself, we will have the Gemara Gittin that Rebbe Toyde Ugdula B'Makamecha. Rebbe was the biggest Talmud Chacham in his time, but also he put Mishnayis together, but also he was the wealthiest person, very friendly with the Roman Emperor and so on and so forth. Rebbe, everybody was giving Rebbe respect, but he didn't want people to respect him for his learning Toyde, because you're not allowed to take credit for the Toyde that you learn. So he went out there to train the people to respect rich people. So when they will respect Rebbe, they'll respect him for his wealth rather than for his Torah. And that was his motivation why he went around. And every time he saw a rich person, he gave him derecheretz to train the people, to give derecheretz to wealthy people. So when they give him derecheretz, it's for his wealth rather than for his knowledge. Interesting pshat. Because Pashti Gemara sounds like from here, they're giving it, because the tzedakah that they give, it's not the wealth, it's the fact that they give a lot of tzedakah and generously. Says the Gemara, Rabba, now, what exactly does, we say the owner has to leave, has to have some ownership there, what are we talking about, what's Tfisas Yad? So Rabba Baba Chana says, you know what Tfisas Yad is? Yeset Shomachrisha, the peg that you use when you plow, you put it in and this is what makes the ridges in the ground. And so that's only one particular tool. That's enough to say he has tfisas yad in that particular warehouse, and therefore the guest is not aser. does not aser at all. Omar Nachman Torah Rabbi Shmuel Dover Hanitl B'Shabbes. The rules as follows: anything, if the things that's in a room are things that can be taken out on Shabbos, that means the person who's residing there can just pick it up and throw it out. And then the owner of that warehouse is no longer has any tfisas yad. Then oisa, then the person living there does ask him if he didn't take it out. But if it's mukzi, for example, and he cannot toss it out, then ainu oisa does not ask it at all. So Tanya, I mean, we learned yesh loy tevel. If let's say if the guy has tevel inside the warehouse, I mean he has food, but it did not give maisa yet, which means it is mukta yesh loy ashrashis. Or if he has over there, let's say pieces of metal, v'chol davar she'ein nitl b'shabbos, anything else which is mukta, and you cannot take it out on Shabbos, then einu oisa. Then the person living there is not asa because he cannot move those things from the house. But if the thing that he could move the things from the house, and it's as if the person does not, as if the owner does not really have a tfisas yad there. But it's hard to understand because, it's a little hard to understand because the person who's renting the warehouse doesn't have the right to throw out the owner's things unless the owner lets him. Because if the owner left his things, it's as if the owner made up with them, these things are remaining. And Shulchan Aruch actually learns if the owner can take his things out. If the owner can go in and take his things out and didn't make up with the person living there that he has to leave it there, and that's the problem. Or even didn't make up, but if it's not mukta, then the owner can just take it out. And it's not that the person residing can take it out, but it's the owner who can take it out. Okay, but anyway, that's Pshat over here. Interesting Gemara. So that finishes today's Gemara. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.